Religious men and women concerned with world poverty have drawn up a suggested shopping list for their brothers and sisters during this season of Lent, a list featuring, above all, fair trade products such as tea, coffee, sugar or chocolate. Rather than just worrying about the huge problems in the poorest countries of the world, the Justice and Peace Commission of the Union of Superiors General is urging all religious to make a significant difference in the life of a poor person this Lent by simply switching to fair trade products that guarantee a fair price for the growers and producers in developing countries. This gesture, their statement says, becomes a witness which can influence and encourage other brothers and sisters to do the same. But just how can the purchase of fair trade goods make a real difference to the lives of the poor? And why have these religious decided to focus on this issue for Lent? A question my colleague Tracy McClure put to two justice and peace promoters, Dominican Sister Tony Harris and Marist Father Paul Frechette.
On Ash Wednesday, we heard from Matthew's Gospel, where Matthew outlines for us three traditional Lenten ways to practice our faith: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And I would place almsgiving, fair trade, in that category. So it would be in the category of charity, though some could make a good argument that fair trade is really also injustice. But we'll save that for the next visit, Tracy.
Okay. All right, well, what is fair trade? Can anybody give me a very good, you know, concise explanation of what it is?
Well, fair trade is a term that's become fairly more well-known, I think, since the late 80s. And it describes an effort to assure that the people who produce goods are given a fair price for their goods and some kind of a stable price for their goods. For example, people who produce coffee are often victims of the market that can be controlled by forces far removed from their countries. But fair trade organizations and fair trade systems have tried to create connections between local producers and ways of distributing their products so that they are not the ones who in the cycle of distribution are the people who actually receive the least for the product. So whether it's actual products like coffee and tea, which are some of the more popular, or even products that are more craft or artisan kind of products, textile products, the effort is to move the product right to the point of distribution or sale and remove some of the steps in between that both take away from the producer and also basically, as I said, because of the market, make the prices that they might get for their products more unstable.
Right. Well, many of the fair trade products that we see in some of the small shops and so on here in Rome are coming from Africa, they're coming from Asia, they're coming from South America. What sort of products are these that we're seeing? You said artisan products, coffee, tea, but what might be some other products?
Well, there'd be chocolate, cocoa, like from Ghana, from Africa. There'd be tea from India, there's honey. There's juices, there's wines, and these prices with these items I just mentioned are pretty comparative. The prices have been coming down a little bit, but where the fair trade products are not comparative would be in jams and jellies. The multinationals still have a
monopoly on those.
Yes.
But I was going to ask you, you know, many people do look at the fair trade products almost as a luxury product, and they say, oh boy, these prices are a little bit out of my range. I mean, is that always the case, though?
Yes and no. Yes, with the jams and jellies, but with the coffees and teas, the prices have become a bit comparative now. So much so that even people like Nestle's and Starbucks coffee are doing maybe 10% of their coffee from the fair trade industry. And we'd like to see that go up.
Mm. In these times of global economic crisis, why should I be willing to pay a bit more? Why should I want to pay more?
Well, I think as a commitment to solidarity in the world, particularly those of us who are in the Christian faith tradition, with some belief that the other people in the world are, in fact, our sisters and brothers, our decisions about the food we eat, the clothes we wear, all of the things we purchase, we know more and more have an impact on the wider global community. So what we've pointed out is that a lot of times religious communities or families designate some of their family income, even in hard times, for charity. And we could encourage people and encourage organizations to see the little extra they might have to pay for some of these products as part of that portion of their income that they're willing to spend for charity or for other kinds of activities that they might contribute to. So it's a little bit more, but it has implications, I think, not only fair trade, but even the stores and the markets that we purchase other things from. You know, those decisions are increasingly more significant for producers everywhere.
Now, I know that you are encouraging other religious orders, especially here in Rome, to participate in a special Lenten initiative this year. How does it work, Father Paul?
We begin with a booklet that has been sent out to 400 generalates here in Rome. It's about 400 generalates. And it's there are three goals, if you want. One is just to inform the generalates in Rome that there are at least 20 sites, 20 shops, fair trade shops in Rome. And in the booklet, we highlight 10. Secondly, we give some examples in the booklet of what religious are doing with fair trade around the globe. One example in Ireland, another example in South America, another example in the U.S. And then thirdly, there is some information, some questions and answers about the fair trade movement. And we're asking the generalates during Lent to take a look at this is one option. We're not being bullies and saying this is the option. I read recently that there was a story in a paper, in a Catholic paper in Great Britain, that one parish priest was very gung-ho and was insisting that this is the way to go. It's the only way. We're saying this is an option. Many of our houses have a 5% budget item for charity, and we're suggesting that this is a good option for charity. And we would like to hear from our audience any experiences that they have. The three stores that I visit on a regular basis, the people are very friendly. Of course, the language is Italian, but some of them speak English, some French. They're an international group. And some of them are volunteers. And they see this as a justice effort themselves. Interesting, one of the stores in Piazza Bologna, they'll actually do deliveries to the house if the purchase is more than 200 euro at a purchase, which is a lot, granted. What I'm trying to do is do a joint delivery with two other general houses that are neighbors to us.
Why is it important that these big religious communities participate in a project like this?
It's important that religious communities, religious houses, consider this as a possible option because there are, in many of these houses, large communities, and so there are a lot of large purchases that someone's benefiting from. So if communities are able to redirect even a portion of their purchasing power, their economic power, to support fair trade, it could have a big impact and hopefully might influence members of the congregation in other parts of the world, in other countries. Can certainly perhaps be something than an activity that's just for Lent, but that in fact, as one of the purposes of Lent, that we make some changes, some permanent changes in our behavior, hopefully for the good, this might become a permanent change for communities. in terms of the way they purchase some products. And as Father Paul mentioned, there are food products, but religious communities also have jubilees and special celebrations. And considering getting fair trade craft or art pieces for those kinds of events is another way to support the other part of fair trade products.
And then just to build on that, religious do have economic power. I think we maybe take it for granted. But when you look at our ministries, the focus for this Lenten campaign is here in Rome, the General Houses. But even looking out into the world, our ministries of schools and parishes and hospitals, these are other opportunities. But that's if the leadership accepts the idea and gives the witness value as well. Huh?
One last question. Is there any way that fair trade could affect relations between countries on a global level? Is it such a small initiative that it can't really make a difference?
Well, one of the things that I think about in relation to a question like that is that if, in fact, economic markets are more stable for people in countries that we call developing, whether that's a fair term or not, but developing countries where people are struggling to basically feed themselves and take care of their families. One of the effects, I think, that eases some tensions is that I believe that most people really want to stay in their countries of origin and work and live and raise their families. They want to be where their roots are, where their families are, where their cultures are respected and active. And if
so, you're saying that it will affect immigration.
It could
eventually
affect immigration if people, in fact, as we were reading about these folks in Ghana now who can actually work and have some kind of stable income. Those are implications, I think, for stabilizing economies in the world and reducing some of the tension that the mass movement for immigration or people who basically want to feed themselves and their families, and so they go looking for a better life, like many of our ancestors did as well.
Thanks there to Dominican Sister Toni Harris and Marist Father Paul Frechette speaking to my colleague Tracy McClure.